Stay tuned after the show for a message from Chevron.
This is Politico Energy. I'm Anthony Adragna. And if there's one thing I can tell you about covering energy and the environment, is that as soon as you mention climate change, whether it's in Congress or a corporate boardroom, it's like everything just
slows down.
But on Wednesday, it was the exact opposite.
All of a sudden, boom, it all just happened all at once.
Three big actions for three of the world's biggest companies all in one day.
Really a turning point for big oil, one that bolsters the case for pro-climate activists.
By the end of the day, we caught up with Politico's Ben Lefebvre.
You know, one guy I was talking to is like, today is basically saying, you know, there's going to come a time where these companies don't produce oil and gas, at least not nearly to the extent they had been. And then it's going to get interesting to see who really is going to be the last man standing in the oil patch. We hear a lot of people talk about, you know, where exactly the first oil well in America was. You know, there may come a time when people say which was the last, you know, producing well in America.
Today, we look at how, when that time comes, it could change oil companies forever. It's Friday, May 28th.
Basically, today started out with a court in The Hague ordering Shell, the big Dutch oil company.
That's the biggest oil company in the world outside of China.
Saying that they had to reduce their emissions.
The court orders Royal Dutch Shell, by means of its corporate policy, to reduce its CO2 emissions by 45% by 2030, with respect to the level of 2019 for the Shell group and the suppliers and customers of the group.
This is just a lower court, but it was kind of a important as at least a kind of mark in the sand of where some countries are going to go with this. Shell has said it will appeal that decision. We'll see how it goes. You know, analysts will say, well, Shell could, you know, just sell off some of its business operations in countries like Myanmar or other places, but then you're still going to have the emissions problems because just someone else who's not Shell will be running them. That's all to be decided. Pretty much on the heels of that, we had, and this to me is a little bit of a bigger issue, what's coming up next.
Activist firm Engine One has obtained at least two board seats following a vote at Exxon's shareholder meeting.
The shareholder group called Engine Number One had a number of months ago proposed that the shareholders vote in a slate of their candidates to the Exxon board. And Engine Number One is kind of like this new breed of environmental activists. I mean, I don't even know how I would call them environmental activists. They're basically taking a very practical approach to combat companies who they say are not, you know, sufficiently climate change minded, I guess you would call it. Engine Number One went to Exxon and said, "We think your plans to account for how climate change will impact your business are going to cost us money." So they nominated four candidates to join Exxon's board who they would say would help kind of bring Exxon into the, you know, modern times with trying to, you know, grapple with climate change and how that'll affect the oil and gas business.
Exxon today, against its will, had its shareholders dump some of its board of directors and install new ones who are going to make Exxon do a U-turn on climate.
So Engine Number One basically really upset the apple cart on this. They showed that they could convince enough shareholders that Exxon, you know, strategy for climate change wasn't sufficient to keep the company going.
And then there was also a big development at Chevron's meeting as well.
Yeah. Chevron shareholders had put up for a couple of resolutions, one of which was that Chevron would have to take steps to cut its Scope 3 emissions. Scope 3 are the emissions that come out of people's tailpipes as they use Chevron gasoline. So this had been something that climate activists had been trying to look for quite a bit to get companies to account for that. And this resolution was passed with 61% of the votes from shareholders. So this was another huge deal. On top of that, another resolution for Chevron that would have had the company auditing its emissions almost passed. It got 48% of the vote. So we saw, you know, in the main with the Chevron and Exxon movements, it's not just, you know, courts or environmental groups or what have you coming out against, you know, the company's business strategies. It's their own shareholders.
if we look at all of these moves together, what is the takeaway for the fossil fuel industry?
Well, you know, I've talked to a few people, you know, longtime analysts, and they're like, this is basically, if anything, this is a crystallization of the thought that there's no going back for oil and gas. You're never going to go back to where it was, you know, 10 or 20 years ago. This energy transition is happening here and now. And if your company isn't, you know, able to handle it, your company's not going to succeed. This is going to have ramifications for everything on energy policy here in DC to the economic landscape of West Texas in the next few years. You know, this is going to play out through Texas politics.
Also, the EPA is restoring the state's authority to block infrastructure projects over concerns about their environmental impacts. During the Trump administration, the EPA limited the state's authority under the Clean Water Act to block projects after a number of Democratic-led states used it to stop oil, gas, and coal developments. But on Thursday, the agency said it's going to reconsider and revise the rule, and that the EPA will seek to restore the balance of state, tribal, and federal authorities. Restoring this power to states would spell trouble for oil and gas pipelines all across the country, including the Mountain Valley Pipeline, which EPA Administrator Michael Regan twice denied a permit to when he led North Carolina's Department of Environmental Quality. Subscribe to Politico Energy wherever you listen and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. If you want more energy news in your inbox, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. And before we go, Congress is getting all fired up about things flying up in the air that we can't really explain. What if I told you that a former Senate Majority Leader once funneled millions into investigating UFOs and that Marco Rubio is calling them a possible national security threat? So, should we think of Independence Day? Check out the newest episode of our sister podcast, Playbook Deep Dive. On today's show, Brian Bender, the one and only reporter I know covering astropolitics, talks to Rachel Bade about watching secret videos the Navy took of unidentified flying objects and how that's affecting Capitol Hill today. Subscribe to Playbook Deep Dive wherever you listen. Carlos Prieto is our producer. Our senior producer is Jenny Ahmet. Irene Noguchi is Politico Audio's executive producer. Our editors are Matt Daly and Gloria Gonzalez. Some of the music in today's show was composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. I'm Anthony Dragna, and I'll talk to you again on Tuesday.
Chevron is lowering the carbon emissions intensity of their operations, exploring renewable fuels of the future, and investing in low-carbon technologies. Because it's only human to protect the home we share. Learn more at chevron.com/lowercarbon.